How many of you know what that means? That's fertilizer of the future. And one gentleman gave his story. He was up to $11 million on paper. And then all of a sudden, the stock market and the real estate market, about 10 years ago, 11 years ago, I think it was, kind of nosedived. Do y'all remember that? You were telling me on the drive here that there were some buildings that were completely vacant. Do y'all remember that period? Or some of you weren't even investing in then or saving then. But all of a sudden, what they thought they had was air. Just air. Had no substance, because when all of a sudden they had this property and they didn't have a renter and they didn't have a buyer and they had to pay it and they had to pay the taxes on it and they had to pay this and they had to all leveraged out on a bank, all the other people's money were now demanding the money, and all of a sudden the negative gearing went into place. And what they thought they had, they were infatuated with, they had no cushion, they were all leveraged out here and they fell. And they all, every one of those seven people said, I wish I'd have known about this then. Real estate's the same way. Here, you buy off an idea. There's not even a plan yet. Here, you're buying into a plan. You're buying off the plan. We're going to build a development, and we're looking for people that want to invest in it. You're getting it for a really good price now. And when we get enough people in escrow that we're ready to build a plan that are willing to put some money up, then we'll go forward on it. The only thing is, the banks, during a bull market, will support it, and you'll put the money through the bank. The bank will pay for part of that. You'll pay for the part of that. And as long as it's on the up, everybody looks like they're going to make some money, and it's all hunky-dory. If the market all of a sudden goes south, and the bank says, no, sorry, we're going to demand the money, and then you don't have the money, and you don't have the cushion for it, now you got to pay that whole thing, plus the maintenance, plus the whatever is involved in there. And you got to make sure you got somebody to lease it. You may get stuck with that. There's risks in there. During the bull market, when it's going up, you think, ah, it's worth the risks. The drawback with that bull market, though, is you think you can do that indefinitely, and you start to take your money and you raise your lifestyle, you raise your savings, or raise your expenditures, and you still don't have any cushions. And if this thing all of a sudden goes south, what it's inevitably going to do, you better have all the cushion ready to handle all the different repercussions that are there. If you've got that in place and you're playing that game, brilliant. You're less likely to fall, and you can ride out the ups and downs and capitalize on the market on the way up again. But if you go and play in that league without the cushion underneath to play in that league, you're taking a hell of a lot of speculation. The banks are taking a hell of a lot of speculation on doing that. And when the banks are optimistic and everybody else is doing that, that's when it's about, that's at the peak of the mania is when it usually crashes. Well, this is a speculation. As you go down, here you have an established house that's a high-quality thing, and here you have a used house, right, that's already proven itself in a nice area. So here's buying your own house. So buying your own house is part of your savings program. Speculating in the real estate market is something you've got to earn the right to play in. Now, what I'm seeing in your market the last 3 or 4 years is 100 seminars on how to speculate in the real estate market with people who don't have any money. They have no cushions, and they're gearing themselves up in high positive gearing leverage during the time when everybody else is doing that. The banks are doing that. That costs very much in the long run for the average investor. Right here. Your house?
No, an investment property.
Investment property's higher.
Yeah, about blue
chips. Higher. Unless you've got cushions. If you've got cushions underneath it, investment properties from about here up. Buying off plans is up here. Purely speculative. Can't guarantee a thing. Can't guarantee they're going to sell them. Over the last 5 years, good probability. But the next 5 years, maybe not. Are you with me? Yep. Reinvesting your own business. Fantastic. But if you put all your eggs in one basket and you don't diversify your basket, you run the risk of your business having a problem. Don't ever put all your eggs in one basket. Well, seeing as though that the more you put invested and put more money into these other systems, the more it stabilizes your company, I would make sure that you put your, you designate a certain portion towards building your company, but designate another portion investing and diversifying your investments. Bill Gates doesn't have all his money in his company. All the people at Enron put all their money in that one company. What happened? Everybody at Enron that lost their fortune were fools. Because they had every one of their dollars, a lot of those people had all their money in one single company. That's one of the basic laws. It's called diversification. You want to make sure you diversify. There's a guaranteed diversification system. There are three guys who got a Nobel Prize for figuring this out. All I'm doing is taking their Nobel Prize and sharing it with you. They've done the math. You will hear all along the journey all kinds of people that make big fortunes. That doesn't guarantee you're going to be one of those people. And there's no reason why. I'm not saying you couldn't. And you might be one of those people. But we're dealing with a probability game, and I'm not going to teach you something that's got a lower probability. I would rather teach you something that I know has got a higher probability. I don't want the risk, and I don't want to teach you speculation when you haven't earned a right for it. But if you came to me and you said, I've got $10 million liquid capital, I've got them in relatively good stocks I can turn over tomorrow, and I got them in bonds, and I got them in cash, and I'd like to buy $1 million property and start playing in the real estate market during this upswing of the market, I'd say fine. Does that make sense? I'd say fine. Great. You've earned the right to play in the game. But if you say, I've got $28,000, I'd like to go and borrow another $35,000 and put all that into this one piece of property at the peak of the market when everybody else is doing it, guess what I'm going to tell you? I wouldn't do it. I'd rather you have absolute liquid capital, that you've got a guaranteed money that's in reserve on your business, and when you have, then I'd like you to save for your house, and when you've got some money saved for your house, you've got enough to deposit for the house, to endure all the payments on that house on a monthly basis in your business that you can afford to pay it, which means you've got to, on average, it's at least 25% of whatever that house payment is, you've got to be able to make, of that whole total of that house, you've got to be able to pay monthly 35% of the income, in other words, from that monthly amount. In other words, if you're making $1,000 a month and your house payment is $250, you can afford it. If you're making $5,000 a month and it's your house payment is $1,200, you can afford it. But if your total income is $5,000 and your payment on your house is $4,000, you can't afford it. You shouldn't be playing in that game. Too speculative.